Hello and welcome back to Sentient Souls. I'm Joshua.
And this is Tony.
And today we really wanted to get into talking about our relationships with substances. I specifically want to dive into how substances like marijuana, LSD, and mushrooms have impacted my life and my livelihood in general, and how it works with me in terms of the path that I'm currently on right now. And I want to make sure that the listeners here understand that talking about these substances
And our experiences with
can
them.
be a little bit frightening. There's this misconception in terms of using these substances and how they can be misconstrued in terms of using marijuana. A lot of the times, or I've heard that using marijuana has been like the gateway to harder drugs, and that includes, like crack or heroin, et cetera. We don't really want to get into that. We're not diving into that,
Aspect
yeah,
of
in this episode, but we're definitely wanting to give you more information and let you know more about our relationship here, because it's actually been a very intense process for me of what I've learned in my life based off of finding solid ground with some of these substances. And that includes alcohol. Yeah, exactly. Because in the end, in this particular instance, I really wanted to dive into how it all started for me. I was a golden kid growing up. I believed that drugs were bad, and I had seen it as a cause like for concern, because my parents would always push it, down my throat, that if you did drugs of any kind, it would turn your brain to mush and you would just lead a very bad existence. And so I thought to myself, oh no, I don't want to go down that path. I was always so afraid, and I was pretty much a bookworm growing up, really in my studies and focused on the things that I needed to do. And it wasn't until high school, my senior year, when I actually was introduced to, aside from alcohol, my first substance. And that was marijuana. Actually, if I wanted to take it back, the first substance was alcohol. And the crazy thing with that was I was 15 when I had my first sip. Yeah. And it was, it was a party, my birthday in Houston, actually, with, family, and we were all having a great time. And it was just
Was it a
available.
family
Yeah,
member? Were you were
my
with family
aunt,
members?
my
Oh, okay.
aunt was like, here, take a shot for your birthday. It's your 15. And I was like, wow, my 15th birthday, I guess I will.
Did you get
And
drunk from that one shot?
oh my God, it was horrible, actually. Yeah, I did get drunk off that one shot. It was
Wow.
Tito's, I remember. It was a
Wow.
Tito's vodka handle. And that's, really prominent here in Texas. And so it was a shot,
That's
and
the
they just said,
stuff.
you take it, you take the shot, and you're, a man. And I was like, okay, I will take it. So I took the shot, and I remember just like literally it burned like my esophagus. Like, imagine really getting burned by something like it, but inside, internally. And I'm sure everyone has had this experience at some point when they have their first sip. But a shot, I think, as the first thing you ever take, oh man, it was horrendous. But I remember everyone was having a great time, and I just remember it was fun. It really elevated my experience, and I remember having a great time. But I also remember that same night, having talked to this girl that I was currently, in relations with. We weren't boyfriend girlfriend, but I called her up and I was like, you know what? I want to be,
More than friends?
more than friends. I
Wow.
really want to, it gave me the courage to really call her and tell her what I really wanted from our relationship, because she had been asking for a
She
relationship.
had?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I wasn't ready. I felt like I really, I was that type of person to really hold off and I wanted to give it the whole year. I was like, okay, I'm gonna give it this, like, we're gonna really see who we are. And I really did end up really liking her. And so I thought to myself, this is it. If I don't do it now, I'm not gonna do it. So I
What'd she
did. And
say?
she was like, are you drunk? You sound like you're on alcohol. Like, there's alcohol in your system. And I was like, yes, but I really want you to know that I really do like you. And I don't know why I
Wow.
haven't,
Said it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so great. It was a little bit of a confidence boost, but I also remember I threw up pretty much all night that night. And I woke up, and the next day I had to go to the, I was in Houston. I lived in Los Angeles at the time. So I was on my way to go to the airport to go back to my parents. And I was hung over. It was crazy. And it was not just one shot. I remember drinking
more
out of that handle. Oh, yeah. It was so bad. But I was in a safe environment. And I think that was the best part for me, is like knowing that I was there with family members and people who could take care of me, because who were really aware of what was happening. In the end, you know, nothing really bad happened. And yes, I got sick, but I think that's pretty normal for
your
first time.
Like a facilitated experience.
Yeah, a very facilitated experience for sure, which a lot of people don't have. And I, you know, very lucky here, count my lucky stars and all that. Moving forward, my relationship with alcohol definitely changed. And I almost even remember after that feeling like I really wanted it again and again and again. It was this weird...
Like in high school, you're saying?
Yeah, in high school, where my parents had a liquor cabinet, and I was literally taking shots whenever, if they ever left for the weekend or something and took the kids with them, I would stay home and I would invite my best friend at the time and we would just take shots of whatever
Did they ever like, oh my gosh, you guys though, but did they find y'all out?
No, and that was the crazy thing. Not that I'm aware of. I was never confronted. Well, because
did you ever overdo it?
Gone. No, and that was the thing. I mean, I remember just overdoing it maybe once, where I was like, it was actually the last time I had had any alcohol for a while, because I had this experience, and that's what really brought me to being really like open with myself.
Okay.
And I, at the time, I was really upset at God for a lot of reasons, but this in particular, so it brings up a lot of stories actually. And when I was a child, my mother passed when I was about 6 years old. And so I had a lot of grief through that and with that. And it actually allowed me to connect with myself in a way where I was yelling and screaming like during this particular night where I had brought my friend over, and he's like, oh, I have to go home, all of this stuff. We had been drinking, it was like brandy, I think.
Oh, wow.
And we had a decent amount, and I remember just on the ground crying and like really getting into my feelings.
Oh,
about,
wow. So you had an emotional moment.
Yeah. Wow. Where I could see myself really getting...
like letting go of it, processing.
Right. And it wasn't really letting go, but it was definitely letting something
out. They were
out.
Coming out, not processing it,
right.
Sorry.
Oh,
they were just
sure.
coming out, the emotions.
Oh, for sure.
Right, right.
And, remember,
and that happens to people when they're under
when
the influence.
That, yeah, when you're that bad. And I remember just at that point being like, I blacked out. I remember blacking out. And I remember then the next day, I somehow made it into my bed. I had like woke up and I was, you know, in my bed, tucked in, all fine, no big deal. But at that point, I realized, oh my goodness, I had
it can really alter you.
Yeah, and I could really turn into this like really ugly person that was like, you know, screaming at God, telling him, you know, pretty much telling him to fuck off, and like, I can't believe you, you know, because for the longest, that's a whole nother story too, in terms of relationships with religion. I really believed that God was the answer, and I was really spiritually connected with him because of my mother. And because I never really felt like got that answer as to why she passed and why she had to be taken away from me, there was
resentment.
And there was no understanding, even like nobody really helped me understand. I think my mom now, really tried to give me that understanding, and she did her best. And I think that was like, you know, one of the reasons why I'm so like happy that I have a mom now, like my stepmother, who I can really call a mom, because she's been there for me to support me and really help me get through this grieving process. Mm-hmm. Well, anyways, that was the beginning. And I remember just,
wow, I never knew that.
Like, that was too much.
I know a lot about you, but you've never told me that story. Wow, that makes sense. I feel, well, personally for me, my exploration with substances started more later in life, like more in college when I was more independent in that way, because I had parents that were more involved in helicoptery. Like, I never snuck out of my room in middle school or high school. I never went out or partied. I remember I had one high school party that my friend threw. I think it was after prom. That was it. That was like my first official like party that I went to. So I didn't have these experiences in high school. So that's interesting to know that story.
Okay, but so what about alcohol? Like, was that your, what's your first, I guess, substance?
Okay, let me think about that. The alcohol thing. Oh, I remember when we started. Well, I remember this one story when my friend had brought over some Smirnoffs to my house. This was during high school. My mom found out that we had some. I thought it'd be pretty easy to hide it, honestly. Can't believe I really thought that, because of course she would find us out. I don't know. I think she came by to see what we were doing. She did a really good job of checking on us. And I think she smelled the alcohol, maybe. But anyways, and we even had her taste some of it. Uh-huh. And I just remember feeling a little like buzzed fun. So like, yeah, and a little bit more free and inebriated a little. But I think that I didn't really like experience too much of it, because there she took the Smirnoffs away then.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And so it was just like a one drink and feeling a little buzzed. That was my first early experience with alcohol.
Okay.
Like in high school, like senior year high school.
You know, and you know what's so funny I think the other times, like right after that, I stopped drinking, as I told you the story, pretty much. That was like my last time that I had a sip of anything until I got to college, which is when I started drinking with Tony, because that's where me and Tony met. Like, I don't know if we've mentioned this on here yet.
But we met in college.
Yeah, we met at St. Edward's here in Austin. And I remember some of the few times that I did start drinking again was with Tony, and it brought me back, because I did get emotional even then.
Oh, you did. Yeah. I actually have memories of that.
Yeah, where I would just be such an emotional drinker, and I did not like that. Like, I definitely have matured into it, you know, more so now than I have.
That's so interesting.
That makes so much sense, right?
That you're just like, you were figuring life out then. But to be honest, I didn't know that about you, because I was just getting to know you then.
Right. So you only knew I was emotional, but you didn't know why. Oh my goodness. It was like a lot. There was just so much.
Was I emotional during those times when we would drink?
No, you were so supportive. I think I remember that's like why I really stuck to you, because you were really there for me.
In those times.
Yeah,
wow.
Just being like my emotional wreck self. Uh-huh. And I mean, I think we were emotional in general, just me and Tony as a duo.
I was already emotional sober though, that was my thing. You met me. Actually, he met me when I was like crying. I was in my tears. You met me at a dying period. It was like, rest in peace. You're seeing this like all come down. So if you're here tomorrow, you'll see what's left. But
and
we stuck together ever since. We never left each other's side.
I don't think maybe you didn't realize then, but I was also dying and really crumbling up, and that's why I was such an emotional wreck. And I think that's really what helped us kind of like be like, okay, we can be vulnerable together right now in this very moment. We can keep going and ride or die. Honestly, because that's what we were doing.
We didn't even know it.
Yeah, we didn't.
It's taken us years to really see. Like, honestly, I feel like, this
going back
this and, years, these years,
yeah,
I can so say like, oh my gosh, we've connected because we've gone through similar traumatic childhood developmental experiences.
Yeah.
And we're like reflections of each other. And it's really just been the past 2 years that I've been referring to you as my twin flame, soul brother.
Continuing on to that story, not only was that the first, you know, some of the first few times where I had been drinking, but the drinking aspect of it just really didn't connect with me in any way. It just made me emotional. And I realized that clearly there was a lot of emotions that needed to come out. And that's pretty much why it was really scary for me. But I had no idea how to process them. And I had no idea how to really get them out. So the alcohol was doing that for me, but in a way where I was just really scared. And so I kind of put alcohol on the back burner.
So you stopped drinking,
right,
or limited it
pretty much to a little bit more.
Sure.
Unless it was like fun party and I didn't have to think about anything. If it was really we're going out and we're going to take some shots, and all we had to really do was not get to the point where I was going to start crying. I just had to remember, okay, I'm here. I got this. I can be here at this level, and that's it. So I got good at doing that. That was like, but my substance of choice at that point became marijuana, because shortly after starting college and after meeting Tony, I remember it was, I believe it was the ending of the first or the
year.
Second,
the
second semester.
Semester.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah.
The first time, I was with Tony, and I remember,
We were bored.
Yeah, we were just bored randomly on our
in my dorm room.
Yeah, and we just decided, why don't we start smoking? Neither one of us had smoked
in the
during
whole
that,
6 month period.
Exactly,
almost like 7 months.
Been in college, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, it was, again, one of my first experiences even wanting to smoke with anybody, but I knew to myself, you know,
you hadn't smoked in high school before?
I had one other time, but what really kicked it off, it was like one time in high school with some friends, and I didn't feel anything. That first experience was like I don't really know if I'm high or what's going on, but this experience with Tony, oh, for sure. And that was the crazy part, is I had made a lot of friends in college, and Tony was like, I don't know where to get it. I'm not really like familiar. And I knew I had the plug without even really realizing it. I had this connection with a girl from Houston, and she was like, yeah, I sell it out of my dorm, et cetera, et cetera. And I remember I hit her up, and me and Tony went, and we walked over to her place, and we just picked them up, and I don't even remember what we smoked out of or how we did it, but
I don't know about that part. Maybe we got a pipe from a local little shop.
Yeah, but it was like something in the woods, and we just got blazed. I remember that was it, and in those moments, I really remember just like losing it. Like, I just got laughter and the bubbliness and all of that, like no control over myself because of the euphoria and the joy that was really coming and being with someone that I really wanted to be with while doing this. So I really let myself go and have a good time. And I even remember we walked to like a convenience store to get like
snacks
and stuff. Yeah. And that was like a long walk. It was crazy, but that whole experience was a lot of fun. And that's what really kickstarted my journey there, because I was like, wow, this is so much fun. I can have so much fun with somebody. And I never took, you know, things weren't really like, I didn't take things personally. It was just a lot of joy and a lot of happiness. So even if someone was telling me something, you know, offensive in those moments, because I knew I could probably be a little like, as a younger kid, I was really annoying and really like, I had high energy levels. So I knew that even if I was, it didn't really bother me, because I didn't feel that while I was, you know, I guess under the influence with this.
You felt like more open perspective and probably more liberated in some sense or way.
Pretty much. Yeah.
I feel like I can relate to that. I felt like that as well. I think my first, okay, so I didn't have like drinking or early partying experiences, but I did dabble in smoking cannabis in high school, probably like in junior year to senior year. Junior year, I probably did it like once or twice. And I was like, oh, and I experienced what you're talking about. Like, oh, I can actually like be more in the present moment and not be identified to my mind and my thoughts and even who I was up until this point. That was like a really big monumental experience for me. And I think that's why cannabis became my substance of choice after that, because it helped open me up to a different version of myself. At the time, that's what I experienced, but I think it helped just open me up to, yeah, myself minus the thoughts, my own thoughts. And that was crazy.
Liberating, like you said.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
I didn't know that. Like, I think I almost, yeah. And in a way, I do remember having this thought, is this what drugs are? Like, not even have that association with your thoughts, just being this, what I am now in this moment.
Yeah, it was crazy because, so prior to any of this, I mentioned earlier, I was told, you know, that drugs were bad and all this stuff. And so there was all this stigma behind it for me. But because I was with Tony and I felt so safe and so comfortable and comfortable with
you
her.
You felt comfortable to explore it.
To explore it, to really just be like, hey, this girl tells me that I can have a good time doing this thing. I believe her.
I thought 100%. That you had experienced it enough until that point. I didn't know that this was kind of more of like you experimenting with it then. I thought because you said you're from California and maybe a little bit of your experiences in Houston. I thought, oh, this person knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, it was very much a dabble, like once or twice, and even once or twice of those times, I don't even remember actually
your first experience.
Hi, yeah, like where?
Well, mine. So, like, I do have a dear friend that I have my first ever experience with, who was really passionate and was like a cannabis aficionado at the time.
Connoisseur.
Yeah. And so I also had a friend that I trusted and confided in, that's how I even got to open to wanting to try
cannabis at all. And I looking back, since you say you don't have a particular experience with it up until when you met me in college, I'm from South Texas, and so there is right there, right along the border, and so there's access to not the best weed. They call it swag, and so like we had access to that, and I think back where I'm from, there's really not much to do, and it's so boring, and so I think that was like an activity that we could do together and be liberated in a group and just be ourselves and kind of like be like kids again.
Escape.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of my story. That's my little foot on how I got involved with this. And I knew that going to college at a new city would be different. Like I wouldn't know anyone. I wouldn't have access to anything. So I was totally okay with that. But also I do remember this memory you and I are talking about. And I remember just having a great time.
Yeah, it was like the start pretty much because we continued. It was like, it wasn't like, okay, this is the one time and then we're done, because we definitely had more memorable experiences. And my thing with it though is I remember I was pretty self-conscious about getting my work done still during my college years and being like, okay, I can't be smoking all the time.
Or drinking a lot.
Right. Or so I had like a lot of these priorities, but then shortly after me and Tony really started, I became acquainted with another really good friend of mine at that time. And he really got me to see a different side of this specific drug and how to get more spiritual with it.
With cannabis?
With cannabis. Uh-huh. Right. Because at the time, I didn't really know that I could. And actually, I wasn't really spiritual to begin with. I remember just like maybe it did make me feel a little bit more free and more uh-huh. open, but uh-huh. I didn't. And that was great because it got rid of the thoughts and I could really be in the moment, like in the present, wow, and just be like, okay, I feel.
Can I jump in here? Yeah. I love how you said it got rid of the thoughts. I think that's the therapeutic quality of the substance of cannabis itself. And I would love to just jump in now. Looking back, reflecting, I think not only were we bored in my hometown in high school, there's just not so much nourishment for young people to grow, I think. And like, we all had our own like traumas and maybe things that we were carrying but didn't really know how to process or talk about at the time.
Right.
So indulging in a substance like this was very liberating and freeing. And I wanted to jump back into that right there and say that's most likely why we tried it out.
Yeah, to begin with, for mm-hmm. sure. And mm-hmm. I think moving forward mm-hmm. here, I wouldn't even put two and two together because I wasn't, like I said, very spiritual to begin with. I was really into astrology, but I didn't even understand how that could be like spirituality. This college really was the first few times where I started experiencing more so spirituality than I did religion and what it meant to be spiritual mm-hmm. versus being religious.
Mm-hmm.
And
I agree. I learned that at St. Edward's too, and I didn't think I would.
Yeah.
I actually thought because I'm going to a school that's called St. Edward's. Edwards,
yeah.
That some XYZ, but no, you're right. Like being at St. Ed's, I really enjoyed actually learning about different religions and also what it means to be spiritual, that and seeing that there was a difference.
And I would say that it was crazy because this substance was one of the things that connected me to these people who were able to show me more about spirituality that I probably wouldn't even have known otherwise. Or, you know, clearly with my experience, that's how it happened for me. So I'm not 100% sure how anybody else would go through it. But in the end, this is what I'm talking about. It is my experience. And I wouldn't take it back ever because it did show me and it fostered a lot of growth within myself that, you know, I'm so happy to be where I'm at now because of it. And I think, like, I really wanted to speak about this because I loved using marijuana to connect myself to myself. And I was able to really see that. It wasn't the only thing, really. So aside from that, the next step was I was invited to this party once in college. And I remember everyone was getting excited because they were really wanting to dabble into psychedelics. So a lot of my peers at the time had already done, you know, had been smoking marijuana and had already really gotten into that level. And I was really like freshy baby, oh no. And they were going to this party and they had said, oh, we're going to do LSD at this party. And I was like, what is even LSD? That sounds crazy. I don't know any of these lingos, these terms, these words. Like, okay. And I looked it up. It was a psychedelic, all of this stuff. And, you know, they were telling me you could see some like colors, some changes, nothing crazy, you know. And I was
they
like,
said okay. Nothing crazy. Yeah, they my said goodness.
Nothing that's crazy. So you could go out on a walk and no. really enjoy yourself. And that's what they all were going to do. They were like, we're going to take one and just go walk in the forest. It was nighttime, y'all, because clearly it was a party.
Okay.
And so I remember just being like, maybe I'll go and I won't, you know, take the LSD and sure. I'll just, you know,
see what it's like by observing
being there okay. and just like, because everybody was going to smoke anyway. So I thought to myself, great, let's go and hang out. And I was invited at this time. Two of my really good friends, even Tony, wasn't there for whatever reason. They weren't available. And I was going with just
other people.
Yeah. And I, you know, I wanted to really put myself out there and be social and experience. And I was having a good time, you know, with these people. So I get there, we're having a great time. We're smoking, really connecting. And then this guy comes in and he's like, I'm from Washington State or Washington, D.C. I can't remember mm-hmm. which one. And he like brings his little like aluminum foil, and I'm like, oh wow, it's all in there. And so he like had it all really wrapped up. He was so like cool to me. I was like, man, this guy's got it. And he was very hippie and very like, you know, man, this is it, this is the good stuff here, we got quality tabs. And I was like, what's a tab? OMG, you know, at that time, like getting all giddy. And I remember he pulls it out, and I don't know why, but they had already told me it was going to be $10 per tab. And I had brought $10 because I was like, you know what?
I want to be just prepared in case.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And everyone was taking one. So I said, you know, I'll take it. Why not take it? So I took it, and, you know, it dissolved in my mouth. All this, it was crazy. And I was having this experience with one of my best friend's roommates at the time. And we were like really connecting and vibing and feeling all like these really like pretty much some of the same things. And so we were really like, whoa, so you feel how this just feels, all of this. Like we were really, it was weirdly how we were connecting. And then up until this point where we were feeling so good and so light and so happy that I blacked out. I remember just blacking out. And after I blacked out, getting up, I was like no longer in my body. I was pretty much what it felt like. I was like a ghost outside of my body. I couldn't see my body physically. I was just floating around pretty much. And that was really intense. Then it gets really serious. At that point, I'm trying to figure out what's going on with my body. And I'm really in my head. I'm not really sure what's going on anymore, or what's around me really. And so I go into the kitchen. I remember going into the kitchen and looking at this knife that was on the table and really being like, okay, the only way I can really prove to myself that I'm alive right now is if I see something. And okay. In my head, I was thinking the knife, okay. It'll show me something. And I was okay. like, and then I had to take a step back and be like, no, dude, do not grab that knife. Like step away and get away from there, because that is not a good idea. And I really psyched myself out in that moment. It was just really, I was really tripped out, honestly. And I get to a place where everybody's like watching, you know, Harry Potter. And I was a little confused because I didn't really understand what was happening at this point. Everything was really vibrational. I could really only tell what colors were coming at me. It was very foggy. It was really hard to see clearly. Everything was moving a lot. And this guy takes it upon himself to really mess with everybody in his like vicinity and starts to do like weird things with his body, and it's like a vibration that's coming my way, and he was just like really messing with everybody around him. And it was crazy to think, and it really got me thinking about connection and how we're all connected in that moment. So that was really wild. And then a couple minutes later I see Voldemort on the screen. And I kid you not, this guy comes out of the television and I'm like, oh my God, this is it. This is the end. Like, what is happening? Why am I at this house? I felt so alone and I couldn't be vulnerable with anybody because I didn't know these people, especially on this, you know, thing. On this
substance.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I get to a point where I need to be by myself. So I get into like a corner and I'm really just like focused on what needs to happen for myself, because I... in those moments, in that moment, I was feeling really lost and afraid, and I didn't have anybody. So I kept telling myself, okay, my best friends are not here right now. I cannot reach them right now. I couldn't even function my phone. I didn't know how the phone could work. I was looking at it and I was just being like, how do I use this thing? It was that senseless. Like, I was so far out that I couldn't even figure that out. And then there was a point in between all of it where I'm outside and I am talking to the girl who had invited me. And I remember she was floating in the air, looking down at me. And she had this like very, this way about her, kind of like a guru. And around us, the ocean was around us, and there were all of these animals. Like, it was just a lot of hallucinations that were happening for me. And I was like, wow, like I can really vividly see these like beings around me. And then she kind of floats down and tells me, are you okay? We're okay. And then I look around and everything goes back to normal. And then there's no floating. There's no, I'm in my body. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm back. Like I could just tell at that moment I was back on track to being like sane again. But yeah, it was a very, very hard experience for me to begin with. And I just remember feeling super raw afterwards, really tired. The next day I was like super depressed and sad. Honestly, I feel like through that whole experience, I learned a little bit about myself, and I learned a lot about opening myself up to things that I never even knew was possible at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I never really was afraid of it. I just felt like clearly I had gone through something really intense, and I like a part of me did die in that moment. Because it wasn't me anymore. Like whoever that was that experience. And then moving from that experience, I was somebody completely different. And yeah, and so that was kind of like my beginning with psychedelics. I wouldn't recommend it, especially if you're not in a safe environment or in an environment where you're with people who are supportive of you.
Or watching you and essentially chaperoning or babysitting you for the evening or the duration of your journey.
Because a lot of times you, especially if it's with someone who has experience with the substance, because they'll be able to guide you through it and help you really like at least soothe yourself and get you to a state where you can really enjoy what's happening. Because in the end, I'm pretty sure it could have been really enjoyable, and I've done it since, and I have had so many more enjoyable experiences.
Sure. Yeah. That was just your first experience.
Exactly.
I see.
We'll dive more into those later. But
I think that was a pretty good first experience. Some people would say, like, I tripped out and it was the worst. Like, you know, some people could say that. My first experience was actually pretty chill. It was with a trusted friend of mine. So I think that made all the world of the difference. And we were just hanging out at their apartment. And I just remember, the hallucinations that I experienced were, like, being on the couch. And then maybe like having the light from the TV reflect on the whole room. And then it just seemed like it was like night and then day, night and day, like seeing like a time lapse. That happened a lot, actually.
No.
Initially, like, you know, okay. So I remember we first were watching Pocahontas. That was magical, actually, feeling the colors, seeing the colors. We like watched the whole Colors of the Wind part and everything, and I felt like even the non-verbal parts of the movie, like when you see the hummingbird come and interact with Pocahontas and her girlfriend, I forget her name, or like just with the characters there, you're like, oh my God, it's saying so much. And you have no idea how it is, but it's just speaking to your soul. So that was beautiful. That was really fun. But
so
then
you
I
could see the nuances in the video. Wow.
Yes, of like color and emotion, everything, like I said. And then I experienced the hallucinations of like I was on the couch, but it felt like day and night happened, like many days, many nights. It felt like that. And then so we were like, let's get a break from this and go for a walk. So we go outside and walk in their neighborhood, and it's nice because it's about like 6 p.m. Mm. So like the sun is going down and it's nice and warm. So we like sit by this field where there's like empty field area, and there's like this like, it looks like a lake, but it's not really a lake. It's just there because I guess it's like free land. Yeah, they haven't built anything there yet. And so I remember like seeing the little like insects fly, and it was like so golden, and you could see like the light reflect, like just touching the grass and the leaves. That was really beautiful. It felt like I also remember stating this. I'm like, it's like I'm watching in HD, like I had said, because it was actually more high definition than the Pocahontas
that you were watching.
Sure, yeah. Like we were out in the world, and that was amazing.
That's funny.
And then we continued walking, I guess, because we wanted to explore, but then we quickly decided not to because I noticed that my senses were heightened. We could hear like the conversations of like people walking down the street like blocks away, like not just like 3 blocks away, like far away, and they sounded super duper close. And then I started getting paranoid, like, oh, they know what, they can hear us because I can hear them, kind of thing. And so I kind of got a little tripped out there. And so then we decided, let's go back inside. And we just like stayed inside. But because I was with a friend who was experienced with a substance, and I was in a safe place, didn't have anywhere to go, that's what I remember from my first experience.
So you had some really good positive qualities that were really happening.
Just, yeah.
Generally,
really nice. Actually, yeah.
Wow.
So in my experience, that helped open me to be like, oh, so they always say, they call this thing LSD or acid. So this is what it is, but it's not as intense as it sounds. But I definitely did.
Scary. Yeah.
Sure. I did experience hallucinations, but also definitely like perspective change.
Okay. Yeah.
For sure. Like, you know, like when I was outside, of course, the heightened senses kind of brought about like, oh, just like it helped me see that I was maybe being a little worried, like, you know, so that's why it's good to stay in a safe place,
Yeah.
Indoors, or at least be able to get back without having to drive or operate machinery.
Yeah. Okay. True. And so what happened with, at the end, I guess I kind of want to know.
I kind of don't really remember. I think we just chilled out, maybe like ate some food later and then it like eventually faded.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Away after about like 5 to 6, or maybe like 8 hours, I think.
Mm.
Anywhere between 6 to 8 hours.
Yeah. And so I guess with these being psychedelic trips, I feel in general, there's a lot that I guess you really do have a lot of these different perception changes. And I don't know. I feel like I want to go a little bit deeper here. So we'll definitely be doing a part two, getting more involved in how we have changed and how our perceptions have changed as we've continued using these substances.
And psychedelics to enhance our life experience.
Honestly, yeah. Because a lot of it, when it comes to my perception changing, I realize...
It's a teaching thing.
Yeah, I realize that my perception changes when I'm using the substance, but also when I come out, I can really go back and remember.
Reflect.
Yeah, on how that experience was in that moment and how I can bring that back with me.
Well, here, let's do a little like experiment. Well, not really, but like in a nutshell, could you tell me how has your experience being exposed to cannabis, right?
Mm.
How has that altered your experience?
My teaching and understanding that I got from was that I guess I was really connected to myself, or I guess I felt the most connected to myself when I previously didn't feel like I was this connected to my body, almost like I was my thoughts more so than I was in the present moment. So I was living in this like idea world versus really paying attention to what was really there in front of me.
Neat. Okay, how about LSD then? How was the LSD?
So LSD in general just took me on another plane
that
made me feel like I wasn't really connected to those around me.
Not as much. Sure.
In a way where when I went back like to visit previous family members and I would see what they were doing, I felt very lower level consciousness. At the time, I didn't know how to explain it. But in those moments when I was there doing these very like kind of just mindless things, for example, just mindlessly watching TV, for like hours and hours and hours.
You were more aware of it after.
I was more aware of that being with my family and as an activity that we used to do together. I would look back and just be like, wow, this is so saddening to me. This is so disheartening because I feel like I want to experience more and talk to you more about spirituality and
more
maybe life. Yeah. And like getting connected with each other in a way that isn't just like us sitting around watching whatever it is that we're watching. It just felt so unauthentic at the time for where I was on my journey and my path. But I also realized that I was having an expectation on the experience that I really wanted. And so that's kind of like how my perception really altered and changed. And then moving forward, I realized that, you know, it's always going to continue to change and evolve. So I shouldn't really have been that worried about that specific moment in time. But anyways, I think that's like what I continue to learn as I grow.
Same here. And I have to agree that definitely my experiences with these substances have just helped me see that without them, because you've experienced them, you can identify parts of your day when you can let go or change your perspective, and I'll kind of like in a way simulate some of those feelings and effects that we experience with these substances, but just doing it and integrating the teachings and lessons you've learned from them into your life. So recently, in our previous podcast episode, Vulnerability Part 1, I was talking about, I feel like I've been dying every day. What I mean by that is dying a lot lately. And what I mean is by like, just like shedding perspectives and transforming and changing from there. And I think even if you're not a person that's open to trying these substances, you don't have to, in order to feel, to be open and willing to experience more expansiveness. So I just wanted to throw that out there as well. We are sharing our first experiences with them, but you can also attain these things in these experiences and connections to yourself in your everyday life.
Yeah, I think the journey is just continuing and moving along on your path and not really, you know, focusing or being too worried about what's really in front of you right now, because you're going to continue to keep growing and changing and evolving. And I think that, you know, whether or not these substances do come into your experience, I feel like there's a lot of gratitude that I can really say about having gone through these experiences. And so in general, I'm excited to continue on with our second part here. So thank you for watching and tuning in to this episode of
Sentient Souls. We'll catch you next time.
Bye.